there have been some tough times doing this, you know, where I've sat with my like head in my hands, like I do not know what I'm doing. I don't know how to fix this problem, or this bill's come in at the wrong time. I don't know what I'm going to do about that, you know. So it sounds a bit tough to say, but like you just have to find it in you and dig it out. And like everyone definitely has it. Mm-hmm. It can take a bit more to find it. But in fact, sometimes getting into that point of like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
That's when you almost find that like little bit of like that push to go and do it.
That second
win. Better, you know what I mean? Yeah. So.
Another year, another episode, joined today by George, owner of
Pie Hole Pizzas.
Thank you so much for doing this, bro. I'll let you introduce yourself.
Yeah, nice. Thanks again. I'm George, owner of Pie Hole Pizzas. We're based in Southend on Sea, just opposite the Central Station on Clifftown Road. It's just off the high street, little colourful, completely vegan pizzeria.
Amazing. And George, you know, just to kind of give people some context, some background into how we met, me and my good friend Matt, business partner slash strategist, you know, CFO, CEO, co-CEO. We walked into the shop one day. We're like, man, Matt was talking about the shop for a long time. He's like, yo, you need to come to Pio. I'm like, great, bro. Like, let's do it. Because, you know, I'm a like meat eater. But I'm like, let me come in here. You know, the vibes are the fire. Like, I see the music. And, you know, we had a camera with us because we were obviously shooting.
Yeah, I think you'd been doing some other work beforehand.
Exactly.
Just come to get some food because someone was recommending it.
Exactly. So we popped in and you've obviously seen the camera and you're like, oh, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
And sparked a conversation and, you know, turns out like we're into a lot of the same things.
Yeah.
You know, Matt with the cars, me with the hip hop. And we're like, this guy's great.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, we shot a couple of reels that done, I think, really well. Good engagement on there.
Yeah, definitely.
Now we're here, man. You know, it was only a matter of time. I'm really inspired by you, bro, because you kind of had, you know, an idea and you executed on that idea. Obviously, I appreciate you were here before, but I'll let you talk about that. And, you know, really excited to talk to someone that has ambitions and wants to do things they're passionate about. So, yeah, I'll let you introduce the shop and like a bit of history about what you...
So how I like got here. So the very early days of lockdown, and we don't need to go into all of that. You know, like everyone knows what happened.
Historic.
Being and gone, yeah. And I just was like, I didn't have any work like most people.
Yeah.
I wasn't complaining about it. It was pretty nice to be chilling.
But
they came up, they needed a driver just for one day a week at Pie Hole, the previous owners. And I was like, yeah, why not? You know, like, it was almost like a joke, but it was kind of like, oh, that fits the bill so much. Like, look at me. Like, I am that stereotypical pizza driver. You know what I mean? Like, if you've seen like, 30 minutes or less or something, like Ashton Kutcher delivering pizza, gets abducted. It's a mad film.
It's really? It's on the list.
And then, yeah, I came in and was just driving for a bit and eventually like cooked a few bits for them, did some lunches for the team. And the guys were like, oh, do you want to come in the kitchen? Then I was doing full time in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Every day the shop was open. And then I always used to joke about to the owners, like, you know, like if you sell it to me, you know, it's got to be to me. Because I kind of got the vibe where with their situation, what was going on, I got the vibe they might end up selling. I left because I moved out the area with my partner and I just needed to get like more rent and stuff really. Had to make that rent. So got another job. I was a supervisor of a quick fit garage. So totally different to making pizza and that.
I can see you do that.
But yeah, I hated that. I had a horrible boss.
Classic.
That's always the way though, isn't it?
Classic.
Yeah. And then I was about to quit that job anyway because it was just like really doing me in.
Yeah.
Didn't have a plan. It was that bad. You know, I was ready to just quit with nothing ready.
Yeah.
And then like it was like divine. Like as I was about to quit that job, this place came up for like they were selling the business.
Wow.
So I just jumped on it, put a little business loan. Like you had to do a business plan to send it off to some finance companies and that, because like at the time I was 25. I'm only just turned 26 now. Like I didn't have restaurant money behind me. You know, you got to have a lot going.
PE backed.
Yeah. So I did the like plan and stuff, managed to secure some finance, took a couple of attempts, you know, because like first time I've ever done business, you know, your first plan's not always watertight and people are going to pick it apart.
Of course.
And it is going to make you feel a bit silly sometimes, but that's what makes you, you know, you got to stick at that and think, oh, okay, they're showing me what's wrong. They might just be telling it to me in a way that makes me feel a little bit dumb, but they've shown me the problem. If you can take that and improve it instead of letting it get to you and just throwing the towel,
yeah,
you can get business finance at 25 years old for whatever you want, you know, like, and here that. I am, you know, after that point, once the finance came in, it all happened well fast. And everything. Then next thing I knew, I was like,
in the deep,
oh, shit. Deep like, end, standing in the middle of the floor in the restaurant, like, this is mine. And to be honest, still today, it doesn't quite feel set in like
really?
That I had this restaurant, you know what I mean? It's weird, like, but the first that's 6 crazy. Months were crazy. I was coming in and it felt like I was almost working for the old people and that. Mm. Yeah, so that's sort of how I ended up with it. Just kind that's of fine. Like a divine intervention, sort of, I won't say luck, because like I always sort of, when I was saying to them, you know, sell it to me, I feel like that was sort of making it happen a bit.
But manifestation?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's so cool, bro. Like, because obviously I'm quite, I try to be religious and, you know, I think yeah. everything, I believe like everything happens on God's time. But it's really cool to hear your story of being in a job that you necessarily didn't like, quick fit. And then, you know, when you're looking to leave, this opportunity comes up.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, you know, like the opportunity arises for you to purchase the place. But one thing I really took away from you talking about the business plan, the finances, like the belief in yourself.
Yeah.
A lot of people probably would have stopped at that first hurdle where they're like, oh no, I need to apply for finance. I need to apply for a business loan. But they're like, I don't have like a degree in business. Yeah. They probably would have just stopped there and be like, ah, that's just too far fetched. Like, yeah. where does that like self-belief come from, that confidence come from?
Well, first thing I'm going to come from that when you said about the degree in business, like I've got a degree in metalwork, you know?
That's so, fine.
Like, oh, you don't need a degree in business to do this. I did economics at like GCSE and I think I got a C, you know what I mean?
Go
like,
on.
And that wasn't even about running a business. That was like macroeconomics, which is like big,
Keynesian.
How tax works, all that stuff works. So, you know, by no means do you need to have all that training. But yeah. I will say at this point, it does. It would have helped a little bit if I was a little bit more like gone down that road to get here.
Course.
But you can't always bank on the plan you're doing. You know, like I always thought I was going to do something creative because I've always done, you know, art subjects, the metalwork at uni and that. And this is definitely creative. It's just making something totally different to what I expected to do.
Yeah.
But for the self-belief things, that is hard. Like, from the outside looking in, it might look like, you know, like, oh, the Instagram is like colorful. He's doing a lot.
Right.
You know, you're like, I like chatting to people. I like connecting with people, like doing stuff like this. When you came in with, you know, you just say, oh, what are you doing with that camera? You know, it's hard because it's not as easy as it seems. You know, like when the shop's open, when I'm being face to face with the customers, you've got to be, you know, friendly. You've got to show like you've got that confidence. But
of course.
There have been some tough times doing this, you know, where I've sat my like head in my hands, like I do not know what I'm doing. I don't know how to fix this problem, or this bill's come in at the wrong time. I don't know what I'm going to do about that, you know. So it's just it's like a mind over matter thing, you know. Like you can be in the absolute trenches, but come 5 o'clock, you got put on the face and like, you know, smile and get on with it.
Roll your sleeves up.
Yeah, exactly. And I think. I love that. Knowing that like I wanted to just do something for myself, like I don't like working for other people. I've learned, like I was saying, with that last job and stuff. So you it sounds a bit tough to say, but like you just have to find it in you and dig it out. And like everyone definitely has it. Mm-hmm. It can take a bit more to find it, but in fact sometimes getting into that point of like I don't know what I'm doing,
yeah,
that's when you almost find that like little bit of like that push to go and do it
that
even,
second
even
win
better, you know what I mean? Yeah, so love it's not that, easy, man. But you just got to like, you know, stick it out. If you can see your vision, you've got a plan sorted for it.
I love that so much. I like, it's good to hear like the unsexy stuff about entrepreneurship. As you already know, like entrepreneurship gets put on such a pedestal on social media nowadays. Yeah. Everyone wants to start their own business, but no one really talks about like the grittiness. Like you said, you know, bills coming in when you least expect them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's really, really good to hear that, bro, because people just see the financial independence, work for yourself, you know, thing. But with you, like, you know, I appreciate at such a young age, you've taken on such big responsibility. And now, like, you know, you're in a place where people recognize the brand, people know you, and you're a well-respected guy, like, especially when it comes to the local community, and, you know, you've got your own business.
And that's something that, like, again, I didn't have sort of in the plan. Side of, like, the people side of things.
Yeah.
Like, I was just thinking, open the shop, sell the pizza, make the money. But actually, when it comes down to it, the stuff that matters more, I think, and I think a lot of other business owners will find that the stuff that matters more is the connection, the people you're talking to, you know, the opportunity to do stuff like this, you know, just making friends through the shop. That like, so many of my customers, I would consider more of a friend than a customer just because of the way I interact with them.
Yeah.
And it's not like, I don't want it to be like, you know, you come in, you sit, like, I take your money, here's your food. You know, I like to try and talk to everyone. And I think that's definitely a key part of it. You know, that's what will keep you happy. If you've got, you know, like, if you've got the most successful business in the world or the least successful, like, if you're not connecting with people, I mean, some businesses aren't right for that, but if you're not connecting with people,
yeah,
I think, you know, you're not going to see any benefit to you from it. Like, why are you doing it? You know, if you're not trying to better someone's life with what you're doing.
I love that, bro. Like, me and you are very similar in that sense where, like, connection and kind of convey, for me, it's like with storytelling and, you know, why I do this is like conveying some sort of emotion, making people feel like they're connected and we all have like one common thing. And to like hear you say that about developing a sort of community, you know, really like honing in on the people that you serve and, you know, the people that like are your valued customers, bro, like it's amazing. And not everyone has that mindset. You know, as you mentioned, some people might just look at this as a very transactional thing. You know, you serve pizza, you get paid, that's it. But I love that you're, you know, thinking more about like that personal connection. And that's one of the things, honestly, that, you know, attracted me to come here, like come, you know, back to back, even help you, not help you, but like be a part in, you know, helping the business, like, you know, do the best it can. It's so rare to kind of hear people talk about that community aspect. Everything kind of revolves around, you know, being transactional and how can we scale this and how can we get one more store. So it's great to hear, you know, and I've learned from that, man. A lot of people would give me advice like, bro, you should copy this algorithm, you should do this if you want to scale. But for me, it's like, if I connect with one person and that person takes away something from this podcast, like, bro, that's the reason why I do it. It's not for like the clicks or the likes, although, you know, that does reinforce it, helps, but it's the small things there, man. But
I definitely agree with you on that. Like, people, you know, everyone's got some tips or some advice or something, and you know, you got to listen and you got to take it on board. And but also, you know, you're doing your own path, your own route. You need to find a way to work that advice into your stuff. And like, you know, it's so true. Like, you see on TikTok, Instagram, it's always like, boost your follower count by doing these three simple hacks on your videos.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah,
cool. But now my video looks like every restaurant ever, you know, or everyone who's making a TikTok to try and promote something, they all use the same format. And you're like, if you want to be different, like you say, you just got to put your own spin on it. And and like, again, with the connection and the community side of things, like here, like that Wheels night that you came down after I saw you the first time.
Yeah.
That's all for the community, because me and Matty, the other guy who works for me, like most days, we've known each other since we were well young through the skate park, riding bikes and stuff. And as we've got older, there's less and less people doing that. Mm. And, you know, like, okay, I've got a vegan pizzeria. I know pretty much all of my BMX like riding friends and the extended community around that. Like, I'm not veggie vegan, but because we put on a night for that community, you know, like where we got them all together, put some videos up, and it was just about that BMX community and stuff.
100%. It was rammed that day too, bro.
Yeah. It was probably the most busy I've had the shop. But like, it's things like that, like, do it a little bit, do it for yourself, you know, like, there isn't anything for the BMX community. That's why it was shrinking, you know? So I had a space. I was like, well, why don't I get some stuff in there? And it's, you know, like finding your own speed of doing stuff. Like, everyone's doing an event. How can you put your niche on it? You know? So that was definitely like one of the big things for us when I first started for the community, for making it my own, is I know how that world works. So why wouldn't I, you know, put that event
infuse
on?
It. Yeah. I love that so much, bro. Like, and just talking about like how you created that event and, you know, got all your friends to come. Like, you talked about a bit about, you know, how entrepreneurship is also a creative pursuit.
Yeah.
You know, I think Virgil Abloh talked about like, you know, entrepreneurs like being kind of like creative artists and stuff like that. And it clearly, like, you kind of exemplify that to me. Like, you know, here's a guy, like, as you mentioned, like, you know, Melwork University degree and, you know, like such a varied background, and you've come here and you've just put your creative twist on a pizzeria. Like, it's so cool to see, bro. And with that BMX thing, man, like, it's cool to see people care about things. Like, nowadays, you even care and be like, you know what, like, the scene's dying, we need to do something. A lot of people be like, you know, it is what it is.
What can I do?
You know? You were proactive and you were like, nah, we need to like throw this event. We need to get all the guys together. Like, it's quite rare to see that, bro. Why is that important to you to like
do? Well, I mean, obviously I'm fortunate to have the space to do this, because it's hard to do it without that. But like, I guess it's just important because if it's something like I grew up with, you know, it could have been anything.
Yeah.
That, like, but that's what I came up on. That's who I like that's how I made like a lot of like early friends and stuff. So
of course.
And there's like, just because, for example, skating's a lot more mainstream, there's a lot more support for it, there's a lot more events, you know, like you've got House of Vans, that's got BMX stuff going on. It's not here.
Right.
It's just that thing. It was like, how can I, that someone needs to do it. And if I've got a space and no one else is doing it, I might as well give it a shot. And I think we did 3 or 4 pretty successfully. The last one we did was the biggest one.
It's insane.
That one we had like a premiere. So like Matt, I mentioned the other guy I work with, he like has like an Instagram channel, like Skur BMX, where we all like do our own videos and stuff, put them up on there. And they had done a Euro trip and made an edit, and we had it on the projector.
Yeah.
So it was like a premiere. It wasn't just for the scene. It was like extra special because it was like the local team homebrew video premiere. And like, I met so many new friends that day.
Nice.
And that was what it's about. Because since then, we have seen a lot more riders at the skate park. There's a couple locally, and that there are new faces coming up now. And like a lot of younger kids, you know, in fact, there's a couple kids, I can't remember their names, which is pretty bad, but maybe we'll clip that bit out.
Clip that bit.
Yeah. they pulled up at the just outside the shop asking for Matty because he has a bit more time to go and ride, where I've got a lot to do with the shop.
Of course.
You have to sacrifice a lot of time for it. Right. But I was like, oh, he doesn't work Sundays. But they turned up, they'd like snapped their chain, had a new one to put on. And like, so I just, you know, I got the marigolds out. Like, I didn't have any pizza to make. So I'm out there like doing a little bike shop on the front for them. And it's little things like that, like, you know, like, not trying to be like, yeah, you know, like the youngers come look up to me and that, you know. Like, I'm not trying to be like that, but it was pretty nice to know like these younger riders knew they could come here, this pizza shop where there are BMXers who they knew would help them fix their bikes. And they like, went up to the skate park like 10 minutes later for the rest of the day. So it's little things like that. Like, okay, maybe I had a quiet Sunday that day, but like I left knowing like I kept those guys riding their bikes. So.
I love that, bro. It takes you back to like the old days where like everything was so community driven and people could rely on each other a lot
like,
more.
It feels jaded to say it. And I've said this a lot though, like we're not exactly like old enough to really be talking like that. But
Facts. But
still, when I look back to when I was like, you know, like a kid, like 10, 11, going out with my mates on the bikes, like up to like Belfast Park or whatever, like people were just more friendly. Like, you know, like now the kids that are 10, 11 riding their bike up, they're all like,
ballied up.
Yeah, it's like, I'm scared for my life. And these kids are like 10, 12 years
younger. They might have like a Rambo knife or something.
I mean, that actually, bro, it flashed me back to this one time. I got punched in the face, like standing up for a friend of mine, like at that age, because the kid was out with his two like older brothers who are like 18, 19.
Classic.
And then like, go on, dig him. And I'm like, oh, come on, man. But like now, like that was quite an extreme one-off thing then. That was like the only time anything like that happened. But now, like, I actually get a picture, like just literally like a week or so ago, like there was all these like kids running past and the police grabbed one of them and had his face against my like shop wall there.
No way.
The kid was like 13 or 14. And then they uncuffed him pretty quick when they realized it wasn't the guy they thought he was. And he was a kid in that. But it's just like,
yeah.
People are just getting into like craziness now, like it's madness.
Insane, bro.
And Southend seems to be a bit of a magnet for that. Like, I don't know if you've been seeing the TikToks lately where they're like, everyone go down to Southend. It's going to be like GTA lobby and stuff like that. Like, people are like,
I did hear about that.
Actively making a choice to come and just cause havoc down the seafront and that. And like, that makes it a bit hard, you know, having a business here, but
of course,
you know,
especially when you're opposite the.
Yeah. Yeah. That's well, it. Bro. Yeah. Like you get some trouble outside, but like kids are going to be kids and have fun. You can't hate on them for that. Sometimes you got to leave a bit of room for it, but
yeah,
it's just when they come up to you in a belly, you got to be a bit like, oh my days.
Like, yeah. You have to be cautious, but
yeah,
man, like the whole situation with like the TikToks and stuff like that. I saw that a couple of weeks ago as well, man. Yeah. Apparently they were trying to raid the JD or something like that. I didn't know what was going on, man. I was just like, yeah, I'm too old for this shit, bro. I need to.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, I'm like a 26 year old, feel like I'm like talking like, oh, these damn kids.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, back in our day.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally, when I was younger, it wasn't like that. Like,
yeah.
But everyone, you know, when the people above, the generation above us were our age now,
right.
Like, well, when I was young, those kids were so much more respectful. But like,
yeah.
I do, as much as it pains to say, I do think like that, you know, like the community thing is important. Like, for like those younger riders and stuff, like to show a positive role model in that scene when like so much of the world is just divisive these days, you know?
Especially in our town, like you could see, I appreciate you've lived here like majority of your life.
Yeah, so I live like, I still live in Essex. I just live a bit closer to Brentwood these days.
Yeah,
like before that, I was always around Lee, Chalkwell, Westcliff area.
Classic. You could see like, I moved here in 2011 and the town, like, you could clearly see like a decline, especially when it comes to just investment from the council and stuff like that. I don't want to get political and stuff like that, but you could just see, like, you know, the town isn't what it used to be. And that obviously directly impacts the youth, with youth clubs not operating. And, you know, what else are they going to do if they can't go to, you know, youth clubs or kind of other initiatives happening? So, yeah, I think we can directly link it to that and obviously other aspects. But you, even, you know, having the idea of reigniting that community, like, I think it will go such a long way, man. And yeah, we hope to see more of that for sure. You know, and if we can help you in any sort of way, even through like this small podcast here, bro, I would love to do that, man. But kind of like shifting gears a bit, you know, we talked a bit about like the creative pursuit and, you know, business and, you know, unexpected bills coming out of nowhere. You know, how long have you been operating the business now?
So it's not even a year yet. I took over October 22.
Yeah.
So it's like, what, 8, 9, nearly 10 months or something.
Insane. Like. Yeah.
The thing is, it feels like it's gone so quick, but then there's some bits that felt like they really dragged out. When it was difficult months and that, like, they feel like a year.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
sometimes when things are flowing, like, 3 months pass you by like that, and you're like, what was I doing for the last few months, you know? Like,
that's me every year, bro. Yeah, it'll get to like August and you're like, wait, what? That's gonna it's almost, then you start hearing Mariah Carey, "All I Want for Christmas." I'm like, oh my days. But, you know, in those 8, 9 months, like, what's been the hardest thing for you, like, as a business owner? That, or like the hardest, it's just like situation, not even, you don't have to get too specific, but like, yeah, just like a really big challenge you were like, I don't know how I'm gonna
overcome this. You know, like, there's constant stuff. Like, if it's not necessarily going wrong, like, there's just always something that's a bit difficult to figure out. Like, there's never not been something. Even like things like trying to come up with the new menu and just like trying to come up with a design for that, when there's like so much, such a wealth of things you could design it from, like trying to distill it down. Like, but I think the hardest bit is just maintaining the drive and the push. Like, aside from all of the individual problems that can come up, because every business has its own stuff.
Of course.
Like, just maintaining that, like, push.
Yeah.
And, you know, the months where I got, like, I let it get over me a bit and I got a bit tired, then you let it go to, like, 70%. That's the months where you realize, like, you know, like, things drop so quick. If you just take a little couple of days off Instagram or whatever, like, you really notice it. And
wow, okay.
And it's hard, because then you want to start punishing yourself. You're like, oh, why'd you do that? You know, you let it down. But I guess the hardest thing is just balancing, keep pushing, but you've got to have time for yourself. And that's one thing that maybe I could have been better with all this time is, you know, like, time for George, you know, like, not like I haven't got time, because I'm always, you know, like, I'm just always running around doing stuff for the shop. So it's just, that is probably the big challenge, is the motivation, because no one's going to do it for you. When I had a job, it's comfortable in some ways, because, like, if it goes wrong, okay, I might get shouted at by the boss or the boss's boss, whatever.
Right. But
at the end of the day, like, this company, that company you work for, you know, doesn't belong to you. At the very worst, you get sacked, you get a new job, you know, or you might just get told off. The boss deals with the problem, it goes away.
Of course, yeah.
Weeks. Whereas here, like, you are the bottom line. You know, if someone's got a problem, you've got to be the one to talk about it. You know, if something goes wrong, if something breaks, you've got to fix it. You've got to pay to fix it. So yeah, it's just finding that motivation every day can be tough. And I think an important message would be is you don't need to be motivated every day. You don't have to be able to get out of bed every morning. It helps if you're one of those people that can, like, just get up, jump and go. But, like, you know, there are going to be days or weeks where you need to just lie there and just be like, oh my God, like, what am I doing here? Like,
it's important to take rests.
Yeah, 100%. Because, like, you burn out really fast.
For sure.
Because there's just a lot of pressure on it, you know? Like, you've got your energy bills, you've got your rent to pay for. But if you've taken out, like, a business loan, that's quite an important one, because the way they secure that and stuff, like, again, it's a bit boring to go into it, but, like, there's a bit different in how you secure a loan like that if it's your first business and you haven't got loads of capital. So there's a bit more risk involved. Mm-hmm. So you just got to be a bit more careful with, you know, making sure you're keeping on top of things like that. After the motivation side of things, it's learning to talk to people who might be criticizing you, because I'm always, I like, you know, you've always got to hear, like, oh, I think that was a bit bit this, I didn't like the flavor of that, it could have been more this. You know, you've got to take that on board every time. Sometimes people are just going to be annoyed about the way something went, and they're not trying to be constructive. They just want to tell you that they're pissed off about it, and they want to be a bit pissed off with you, and you've got to go like, yeah, you know, I'm really sorry about that. And one of the reasons I stopped working for other people is because of, like, I'm not the best at being told something sometimes, you know, like, and like, not like I'm disrespectful, you know, like, I have complete respect. There's a hierarchy, an authority structure. You've got to follow that. But, you know, when you're dealing with bosses and people above you that are just treating you badly, it makes you hate the way that whole thing works. I forgot how I was going to connect that. Sorry.
No, it's fine, bro. Like, I was like so zoned in. I was like, yeah.
I was like, he's about to spit it.
He spit it.
If you're going to do it yourself, you're going to have to be the one to like take it on the chin. Again, with that, put that smiley face on, and like someone could be saying something that's really getting to you, like really badly pissing you off, because you might think that what their view of it isn't the way that you see it, you know, but like, as much as I don't want to say the customer's always right, because that can leave you open to some problems. You don't have to act like that though. Like if they've come in to eat your food and there was a problem with it, you know, you've put it on their table and you've gone back in the kitchen. You can't see what's going on. Like, you can't argue with a customer or anything. You know, you have to always listen to what they're telling you. Even if it's like, it's cold, it's warm. Like, you know, you just have to like take on board everything they're saying and just, you know, own it.
We had an audience. I was about to start spinning bars. Nah, man, I love that. And I think going back to what you said about, I think listening to people that criticize you, like I hate compliments and I hate people like gassing me up. Like I'm actively seeking people to be like, nah, you need to do this. Because in the past, like when people were like gassing me up, I just got like complacent. I was like, yeah, I'm the shit. But then when people are like, nah, bro, like do this, like, nah, this isn't good enough. Like I like randomly started DMing loads of like videographers and photographers, like, yo, look at my showreel, like, what's wrong? And they were like roasting the crap out of me. And I was like, it hurt me so much. But I was like, man, these guys are right. Like, and it's helped me so much.
That's the best way to do it, definitely. Yeah.
And you know, I think it's such a good telling of the person itself, because clearly you want to do stuff and clearly you want to improve. So thank you so much for sharing. You've got to be hungry
to push for that improvement stuff. And just quickly on that subject, like I did a similar thing recently. There's a local vegan business nearby. I was going through like some like troubling stuff with the shop lately, and I was like, because I haven't even done this a year yet, you know, who do you turn to? You have to look to the community.
Yeah.
You know, I sat down in this restaurant with him for like an hour, and you know, like he did rip me apart, but like he highlighted a lot of stuff and was just, I said, look, you know, like I'm here for a reason. Tell me how it is.
Of course.
You know, like, and when it's just blunt, you know, like you're saying, when they're just roasting all the things that are wrong that you might have actually thought you were doing all right.
Yeah.
It can sting, but again, you've got to just be able to take that and keep moving with it, you know? Just swallow it and.
Bro. And it still gets me sometimes, like, you know, when I'm editing, I'm like, man, I need to do this. But at the end of the day, it's just being comfortable in your own skin. And that goes back to that self-belief that you mentioned, bro. Like you just got to power through it. But, you know, I think I want to kind of talk about the plans for the future for you, for the shop, the brand itself, because clearly, you know, a lot of people, you know, in the community follow you, and obviously we're clearly big fans here. Like, it'd be really interesting to hear your plans and where you want to take Piho in the future.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know how to start that, I guess. Like, I don't want to lose sight of the brand at all. You know, like I've really enjoyed making food, and when my nan was still around, she always used to say when she came down from Wales to the Arches, she always wanted a cafe on the front with me. So like having this is like a little like, you know, like I never even factored this into the plan while I was at uni, and like it just sort of happened. And like I didn't even think about that until I was here for 6 months. You know, it just hit me. I was like, oh, like we used to talk about that with my nan all the time. Like, and we're here, we're doing it. Like, you know, like this one's for nan. But
love that, bro.
Like I was saying just now, like, you know, we hit some, you know, troubles and stuff. The rent is just getting a bit too like out of control and stuff. Like, and the bills. I started October 2022. That was the energy crisis. Again, like another thing that we don't need to go into, like COVID. Like people know what was going on.
Yeah, you guys.
But like my overheads from what the previous owners had just skyrocketed at a point at which it was too late to do anything about. Like, I signed the lease, then the energy went mental, like, the next day. So I didn't have my energy contract. Like, I'm still in the process of getting that all
right,
set up.
Right, getting, like, fixed.
And then they're like, oh, sorry, we're going to take that plan. It's now going to be this. And, like, the price is, like, more than doubled.
Oh, my days.
Because the business energy wasn't as protected as, like a residential stuff.
Okay.
So, like, only until, like, a month or so ago, we were still, like, everyone was still eligible for the, like, government support. But businesses, we stopped being eligible, like, straight away for the really? Support. You had to be, like, you know. But anyway, that's not where we're going in the future. We're probably going to be leaving the shop, unfortunately. So, well, I say unfortunately, it's kind of like a gift in disguise, you know. Like,
okay.
I have loved having the space, you know, and, like, being able to, like you say, decorate it, put your spin on it, have people in here, have events, have parties. But, you know, it's just not competitive anymore. And you just have to, as much as you don't want to say it's all about the money, like, it gets to a point where it is about the money if yeah. that's what's going to literally cause problems, you know, and, like, it's going to force you to close.
Of course.
Instead of closing Piehole, the brand and stuff for good, we're just going to take it into a food truck is the plan.
Love that.
So that way, you know, I can travel all these skate parks with Matty in the back. You
no
know,
way, like, that'd we can be sick.
Pitch up, you know, sell some pizzas and then ride for the rest of the day.
That's fire.
Get to go to, like, festivals, big events. Like, yeah, there's the City Jam on at the minute this week that
okay.
we didn't get a chance to take part of just because I got so much going on with organizing, winding down
of
the
course.
Shop
yeah,
and going
yeah.
mobile. So, I mean, it might be a bit of a surprise to some of you guys watching at home.
Breaking news.
Yeah, breaking news. But, you know, Piehole's not going. It's just not going to be here. You're going to be everywhere, you know? Like,
facts.
And we've got a lot of people who visit from still, like, within Essex, you know, like, a bit further away, like Chelmsford, Danbury, stuff like that. But, you know, I've had people come from Manchester, like Norwich.
Wow.
You know, I've had people come from kind of far away. They try and usually time it with a trip to London or something, but we've got so many followers from across, like, you know, the country now, like, that it makes sense to sort of be able to go up there. And there's places like, you know, Liverpool and Manchester are really got like a really growing vegan scene up
really?
There.
Really? I wouldn't
and
have thought.
I suppose we haven't really touched on the whole vegan thing too much, but like there's some stuff that's really kicking off up there, really trendy quarters. And I just think, without being like mean to South End, I just think that it's just not the right time for us here, you know, like the area needs to be a little bit more busier. Like, so if you compare, like, the way I like to see it, I don't know if you've been to Liverpool, but there's like whole like quarters there, you know, like one quarter of the city has as much going on as the whole high street area and more.
Yeah.
And then you can go to the opposite corner of the city and there's all of that same amount again over there. And like, it's just where it's just like a bit more bustling. There's
little
a
pockets.
Bit more noise. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's just a bit more of like things going on. So we want to go and explore those cities, you know, like see how yeah. Piehole were doing places like that. And
I'd love
you know,
to see that, bro.
Be on the road for a bit. But, if you know, eventually Piehole will find its natural home next. And it's always going to be pizza because, like, I've really got, you know, like, I love the pizza. I'm real proud of the pizza we make. But, like,
pizza's fire, by the way.
By going and trying all these different places, you know, I'll pick up at, like, some events. I'll make some friends, you know, maybe learn some new dishes off people.
Yeah.
Do a kitchen takeover here. Somewhere where they're already doing a cuisine, you know, incorporate that. And, you know, I'm just excited to, like, taking a lot more influence, a lot more stuff to develop, mm-hmm. you know, bring some more character into the shop than it already has.
Yeah. I love to hear that, bro. And you know, where, you know, if we can help in any ways, like I'm more than happy
well,
to
I
do
love
so,
that.
Bro.
I mean, the videos we did together last were good fun.
Yeah, drop a little follow and so you can see us. Yeah.
You can catch the reels they made for me on at Piehole Pizzas on
Facts.
Instagram.
Facts.
It's Piehole Pizzas on Facebook. We do have a TikTok again at Piehole Pizzas. That's still growing, still learning the TikTok way. I'm not quite like trendy doing my dances on there yet.
Same. I mean, I was back in the day, but I had to stop it.
Well, I'm Musical.ly.
Musical.ly. Oh, you're an OG guy, bro.
Man, I'm a Viner.
You're a Viner. Okay, so I was on Viner.
There's no need to plug my personal TikTok, but it's where is my Vine? Because when I got TikTok, I was like, this is the next best alternative to Vine.
Yeah.
Again, me and Matty, the guy I used to work with, like used to make loads of Vines. And like,
I want
to
see those.
I've got my archive. I downloaded them when Vine closed. It's like a 45 minute of just like, you watch me go from like high school and then the last Vines like at university.
That's
so
crazy.
It's like this accidental archive
diary.
Of history.
Yeah. I love that. You documented that, bro.
Yeah.
But you know, to kind of end off the podcast, because I appreciate you got to run the place. You got to serve the customers. There's like
some slices to sling.
You know what I mean? We're going to get some, you know what I'm saying? Really looking forward to that. I appreciate it. any tips, advice to people looking to like just start with their, you know, doing what they're passionate about, bro. I know it's quite cliche, but
yeah,
you're clearly, you know, a good example of someone that's like taking something and you know, ran with it. So
I mean, truthfully, like deep down, like most people, I think really like I love chilling out on the sofa. I love just like my peace, like sitting in the sun on the beach, having a minute, you know, like
yeah.
Lazy people can pull this shit off too, you know? You just have to like
really?
Yeah. Yeah. You just have to like maybe I'm too hard on myself and I think I'm lazier than I am, but like you do have to like put the time in and the work in. But like, you know, if you think like, oh, I've not done anything like this before, I don't know how to do it, like, me neither. Like I never run a business, I never run a restaurant. Like, I had experience being in, you know, my first job was in a chip shop.
Same.
And like I worked here before as well. But like you just gotta send it, you know.
Send it.
That comes from like the whole BMX thing. You know, sometimes you'd be hyping yourself up to do a trick, getting so nervous that you're gonna fall off and hurt yourself. Like, it's the same here, you know. Like when I was setting up, I was like, should I do it? I was gonna quit my job, but is this the right thing to do? Like,
take
I might
risk.
Not, you know, like, and okay, I maybe would have earned more money for myself personally not doing this, but like sometimes it's not about the wealth you're gonna make. Like, you know, like I feel a lot richer from all the practice I've had from doing all this, you know, the experience, and that's important, you know. Like, if you're gonna, you know, you might think you're young, but like it's better to do this stuff young. You can bounce back, you know. If you're like, you know, if you've got a mortgage, if you've got some kids to look after, if you've got all that going on, like it can be hard. And if things
for sure
go wrong a bit, and that's not to say like things haven't gone wrong for me and caused me problems, but you just you're not going to know if you don't try and do it, you know.
100%.
And again, very, very cliche thing to say.
No, makes sense.
But you just have to take that risk. Step, give it a shot, you know. And so, you know, you might know if like restaurant maybe isn't the right thing you want to do, but like you just got to find something that you're passionate in that you're going to want to stick to. And like, I've always loved cooking and chefing. Maybe I didn't, you know, it was never in my plan to open a restaurant.
Yeah.
That was something I just like doing on the side. But like, the world will find a way of putting it in front of you, you know? And if you're getting a load of crap thrown in front of you, you should probably adjust your approach to life.
Paradigm.
You're going to get what you're putting in back, you know?
I agree.
And like, as long as you just stay positive when you take the leap, you'll get there. Like, times have been hard, but at the end, the overall, just keep looking past the difficult stuff and you'll get there.
Love that, man. Thank you so much for sharing that, bro. And just to kind of point to add, you talked about, you know, just taking that one step.
Yeah.
That really cliche quote about, you know, a journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step. So I love that so much, brother. And, you know, again, where can they find you again on Instagram?
Instagram is at Pie Hole Pizzas.
Yes, sir.
Same Facebook page is Pie Hole Pizzas.
Yes, sir.
And same on TikTok at Pie Hole Pizzas.
And really appreciate you again, George, for coming on, man.
Cheers for having us.
You know, I've been wanting you to come on for a while, yeah. So it's great. I know you've been busy past couple of weeks, but hey, appreciate you guys tuning in again. And let's just say, I don't know when the next podcast episode is going to be, but appreciate you guys watching this. And make sure to support George, man.
Thank you.
Yeah,
amazing. See us pulling up in the food truck soon.
Yes, sir. Expect some more content soon. Appreciate
if you see
you
me speeding, it wasn't me driving, all right?
Yeah, let's just say NPR cameras in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, George, appreciate you.
Nice one. Cheers.
Let's go.
Thank you, bro.
We used to buy our pepperoni in. Used to get it made by a company, and it was pretty good for vegan pepperoni. There's a vegan pizza chain called and they got an exclusive right. They bought the distribution rights for that pepperoni and then wouldn't sell me any. So I made my own, and that's how we got the Italo Disco.
Facts. Thank you, George. We appreciate you, man. Let's just say.
House pepperoni and roasted red peppers.
Yes, sir.